still light of mine. We might be country, we might be a bit warmer.
But that song's written by the same guy who wrote Amazing Grace. I saw them, that's John Newton, the ex-slave master who that film was about, they made recently, Amazing Grace. Thank you very much. So, but you know, we've got to learn that, teenagers particularly, but there we go, that's a free one right there. Guys, it's great to be here. I've tried to shorten the message. I'm sitting there and I'm going, man, it's too cold for me to go long. I can't go long today. So I've been sitting there scribbling, trying to cut down, and because I'm thinking, man, it's cold in here. I love the Nigerians over from Lagos clapping with the gloves on. I love that. I won't forget that. No, I appreciate that. A lot of wisdom. We're going to be in Deuteronomy for the last time this year, or the last time we're moving on. I think we're focusing on John for 2013, and the theme of light, living by the light. That's going to be the theme in 2013. So we're just closing out this, and I thought this is just a great passage. I don't know if we focused on this already. I don't think we have. So I wanted to just focus on this, and this would be a good thing for us. I love the communion. What were you born for? What a great question. What were you born for? If that's all you take away today, then I'm fired up by that. What were you born for? That's a great communion. And also, just a great hope talk, just to mention Marvin, just to correct him slightly. We're taking up a hope collection during December. He said missions. It wasn't for missions. It was for hope. And it runs until tomorrow, Monday, the 31st. It was just a free will offering for hope. Just for that, for collections around the UK and around the world. Let's pray before we open up the scriptures here. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your direction. Thank you for the books of Deuteronomy and through the entire 66 books of your Bible, God. We thank you for Moses, for the way you used him, God. We pray that, Lord, we'll learn from his words today. God, give us open hearts, God. Give us warm hearts, God, to receive your message. Thank you for those serving today, God. Please bless our congregation, Lord. Please bless our mission, God. Please bless us not just to hear the words today, but to put them into action, God. For it not to be about this hall, but for what we do outside of this hall, God. Lord, we thank you so much that we can meet here, God. Please bless us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, sorry. Is that better? Hello. Check. Sorry. I always check I'm turning it off because if I'm singing beforehand, that would be disastrous. You wouldn't want to hear me sing on the microphone. Some of the teams, amen, you know, Jesus intercedes, so by the time it gets to heaven, it's all good. But I know some of the teams, you're just like, man, this guy, what's wrong with his tones? But it's all about the just coming out of my larynx. It's got to come out that way, I'm afraid. My first point, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Oh, this is I'll share a moment about this brother in a moment. This is your new brother in Christ. From verse 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up to heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you may have to swim across the English Channel to France and come back again. So that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. You know, I put this guy up here. This is Owen McNally. He's a brother in the Glasgow church, baptized a couple of months ago. Came over from America to play professional basketball in Glasgow. Got baptized. Oh, this is just some of his stats. There's Will Smith, many of you know him. You don't need a reach like this guy to reach God. This guy's got an incredible reach. These basketball players, he's whatever, 6'8". And these guys have this, like boxers, have this incredible... You don't need no long arms to know Jesus. You don't have to have this incredible reach. The word of God is in you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. The word is very near you. You know, it says, verse 14, it is in your mouth, in your heart, so you may what? Obey it. I mean, God is so close to us. Other places in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near to them the way that the Lord our God is near to us whenever we pray to him? We just can take it for granted. We're growing up in Christianity, and say, oh, yeah, I can pray to God wherever I am. You know, that's not always the case with religion. That's not always been the case for many people worshipping a so-called God around the world. Jeremiah 29, verse 14, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Now you can extend that if indeed you seek him. That's my second one. We'll talk about making a choice. But you look for him, you'll find him. He's not some hiding away God, some God you can't find or makes it difficult for you. No, no, no. He's actually inside of us. He's your maker. You've got his DNA inside of you. You know, this is incredibly special. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. Before you call. Like, that's your God. Like, okay, he's got to ask me in the right way, the right thing. Now, there's truth to that. We've got to pray correctly. We've got to have reverence. But like, God wants to hear from you guys. God wants to grant you your desires, the desires of your heart. While they are still speaking, I will hear. I mean, this is our God. Not even like the stars or the moon that take however many light years to reach us, or however long that light takes us. God's not like that. There's not some like length span or distance span or long distance mail, or, you know, a lot of us were ordering our Christmas presents on Amazon 3 to 5 working days, man, that ain't going to get there. I could pay for this tomorrow, next day delivery. You know, that's still maybe not quite right for Christmas, and we've got to. God's not like that with prayers or with his. He's right there, right now. He owns time. That's our God. He is right beside us. He is so close to us. What an honor. And yet, you know what? The devil wants to convince you otherwise. Satan has a big plan to say, it's not as simple as that. It's just not that easy. In fact, it's really hard to get to God. He wants to convince you that. He wants to make it in your mind, you know, like a 400 meter hurdle race. So I've been watching lots of highlights of the Olympics over the last few days. I bought my father-in-law this DVD. I'm loving it. Going over all those gold medals. I mean, you know, that hurdle race or the steeplechase where there's barriers and barriers. Like, Satan wants to make it like that. It's a flat race. There's none of that difficulty there in terms of finding God if you really want to seek him. Christianity is simple. I never thought that. I'll be honest, I never thought that. As a non-Christian, I thought I've got to be a scholar. I've got to know the scripture. I've got to read the whole Bible before I can be saved. I gotta know my stuff. In fact, maybe I should get a degree in theology first, just to be sure. You know, this was my thinking. You know, I thought maybe I've had to grow up with it. I didn't grow up with it. It wasn't around. Now, there is an advantage in that, teenagers. There is an advantage in that. Because you've grown up now. So it is actually, it's still in your heart and your mouth. It's actually in some of your lifestyle already. You almost walk the walk. Already, but not quite, you know, right with God yet. There's an advantage to that. Some of us had to make radical changes in terms of even how we put one foot in front of the other. For you guys, it's more of this heart and mind thing you've got to do a radical change with. But actually, you're around it, and there's an advantage. I thought I needed Christian parents to be saved. Again, a great advantage. And teenagers, do not dismiss that. Take advantage of that. Can I have a quiet time with you, Dad? Can we study the Bible, Mom? Like, make the most of that. But that's not what you need to be saved. I thought I had to have a pure lifestyle. Oh, I thought, man, who's so many things except me? Me, you know, I used to blaspheme, I used to curse, God's name. There's no way, I've set up the barriers in my way between me and God. There's no way I can fix it. But it's not that complicated. You know, I thought, like some religions, I needed to go to Jerusalem, make a pilgrimage, go to the promised land. It's not like that in Christianity. I thought maybe I need to have a vision. Some of us think, wow, you know, some sections of Christianity will teach you need a miracle to be saved. To come to me, you've got to see Jesus standing at the foot of your bed, in the flesh. I don't see that in my Bible. I don't know where that is. You know, now, we do need someone else. He says here in the scripture, you don't need someone to go up to heaven, you don't need someone to cross the sea. It's true, okay? But we do need someone to help us. Now, it's in us already. The basics are in us. That's the point I'm trying to make. You're not far from the kingdom of God, sat here right now, whether you've never heard this message before. You're not far. But we do need someone, Acts 8, the Philip and the Ethiopian, We do need someone explaining and helping us with it. There's other scriptures where one another helps one another. But you are made by God. I mean, where do you think you come from anyway? I mean, who do you think made you anyway? Only the Lord God. So, it's just rational. It's common sense that the thinking and the understanding of Christianity would be in you anyway. But the scriptures do imply something that there may be a time constraint here, though. Look at these. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he may be found, while he is near. Psalm 32, verse 6. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach you. Implying there's opportunities to find God. Okay? Now, God is, he owns time and space as well. So he can, put you in a place whenever he likes for you to be near at him, at that time. But it implies that we get opportunities. Today is an opportunity for you. I don't care where you come from, I don't care if this is 15 million times. Today is an opportunity right now. You think it's some coincidence you're sat in church today? Well, I just kind of thought I'd come along and friend persuading me, or I was invited, or I come along with my parents, or hey, this is no accident. This is a special day. But only if you take the opportunity, like all opportunities. You look at some of these runners in the Olympics, there was a window, a moment. I don't know if you saw this race with Michael Phelps, and Michael Phelps, the greatest Olympian ever. More medals than anybody else. He's got, it's a 200-meter medley. So they do all the strokes. He's coming in for the finish. They finish with the front call. He got his strokes wrong. He reached too early, and he went for the glide for the finish. And the South African guy, Chad, do something. Can't remember his name. My father was South African. Loves it. Watched it about five times. Cross, flow, probably Africa, pronounce it better. He's coming. He makes one more stroke, gold medal. Phelps got it. I took his opportunity, this guy. No one heard this. His dad goes nuts. His dad's going ballistic. You should watch it. It's great. I can't believe Phelps is idol. There's windows in our life, guys. That would never come back in the Olympics every 4 years and they'll swim them. How much more your salvation? Not some poxy metal that will fade away and be burned up. How much more? There's opportunities given, guys. We've got to take them. 2012 is drawing to a close. How did it go seeking God this year? How was it for you? Can you look back and go, 2012, man, I grew in my faith with God. I started studying the Bible this year. I got to know God a little bit better in this area. I battled with this. I died to this sin this year. In 2013, man, I'm going to go for this year. How's it going? Are we going to take the opportunity? 2013 will be over like that. We'll be back here. Robin, you'll hear a different message from a different preacher saying the same thing. But what are we going to do with it? The time is racing. Teenagers, you'll be out of the teen ministry before you know it. I get 5 years with you guys. 5 years. Years. I love it. You're coming at 13, 18, whoop, campus or singles. All the world. Not long. What are you going to do with that time? Campus ministry like this. You've got attention. We've organized events. Got you doing stuff. We've got team camp. We've got loads of stuff. Campus, man, what do you want to do with your life? That's campus. Because we're reaching out and preaching the word on campus, and we're going to help people be saved at universities around the land. So, it's a window. It's a window. How are we doing? Teens, there's a lot coming at you today. I hope you're ready. The truth is simple. It's not hard. And there are times when we have opportunities. I want to ask you to see this. Can we put the video on now? Can we get that going now? I want to show you a 3-minute video. Just help you with this idea. It's called The Red Tractor. It's by a preacher in America called Francis Chan. Okay, I like some of the stuff. I'm going to agree with what he says, but this is quite a good point he makes here. Can we do the lights? We'll move on. Yeah, it's a good one. chop it. Let's chop it. We can get it on later. We'll try later. Sorry, guys. Technical hitches. I threw Joe today by bringing my Apple today, my Apple Mac, rather than the normal Dell. So we'll try it out. But if we get it on later, I'll show you this video. Just in closing on this point, guys, I mean, in terms of the mouth and the heart, what is in our mouth? This is the word in our mouth and in our heart. And, you know, we got to think, if there are other things in our mouth and in our heart taking the place of the word, then the word can't really be around. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like that analogy where the monkey goes into the puts his hand in the jar to get the nuts out. And he grabs the nuts and then can't get his fist out. And they catch the monkeys this way. You know, you got to kind of let go to get God. You can't go to God with a full hand saying, I got what I need. I'll have a bit of you. No, we got to give it all up and say, I'm going to go with empty hands. Oh, we got it. You guys, look at these miracle workers. You got sound now? You play for them. Go for sound. Hey. Go for them. Okay, that's the guy, Francis Chan. You can check out some more of his stuff. But, you know, he uses this analogy like this is a church, and he's trying to get the church to read the Bible. But for me, this analogy about life. I mean, we are the big red tractor. You know, like, you know, but have we found the big red tractor manual, and are we using it? Because maybe we're getting along, chugging along, and thinking, yeah, well, I'm moving. But are we really moving the way God wants us to move, in the, you know, as far as God wants us to get? Because without this, guys, we're just making it up. We're just trying to, we're doing it on our own web. Farmer Dave had it right. He got hold of the book and, you know, and he made it happen. You know, the word is there. The word is in our mouth. The word is in our hearts. And the Bible will help us step forward with that. Second point, let's make the right choice. Verse 15 to 18 of Deuteronomy 30. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you today that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. So it's, you know, there's an option here. Make the right choice, guys. Is it going to be life and prosperity or death and destruction? Like, there's no middle ground with God. It's either one or the other. And, you know, let's talk about prosperity for a moment. We're not talking about the health and wealth gospel. Let's just be clear on that. I mean, there's a number of characters in the Bible, whether it's even our Lord and Savior Jesus. You know, who's not a wealthy guy. Job, many, you know, in different times in that challenging middle period of his life, not a wealthy guy. You know, Jeremiah, you can look at others. We're not talking about material wealth here. We're talking about spiritual wealth. Make the right choice. So there's another couple of scriptures we'll look at in a moment. But, you know, we're talking about true riches from God. How are we doing after Christmas? I mean, how are we materially? Are we like, man, I wish I'd have got that? You know what? I think I'll treat myself to that. You know, it was all about that this Christmas, that material thing. Oh, I should have cooked that. In fact, next time I'll cook this. You know, material. The house just didn't quite look as like I wanted it. Maybe it was just the new tree needed, new decoration. Like, I mean, there's just so much challenge around that, guys. Food, presents, even debt. I heard yesterday on the news the majority of people in the UK did Christmas on credit. That's how people survive. Over 50% put it on a card and said, you know what, I will pay for it when I can afford to. How are we doing with that? The Bible says we should lend no debt and remain outstanding except the debt of love. That's the only debt we should, you know, we're always in debt in love and helping people, but not in debt in other ways. You know, the choice for us is whether we choose God or not. Whether we choose the right blessings or not. Teenagers, the choice is not Nike or Adidas. Like, the choice is not Prada or Gucci. Should I think about whether I can even find it in the second-hand stores? Another matter. You know, that's not the choice. The choice is not Xbox or PS3. That's not the choice to make. But that might consume your mind. That might be a lot of our Christmas thinking. Wow, what game should I win? The money that I got? That's not the choice. The choice is, do I choose prosperity with Christ or death and destruction? Check out these verses. These are challenges. Amos 5 verse 6. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. He will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. Do not mess with God. Do not mess with God. Don't play the game. Well, yeah, I might choose my own life, my own way. Yeah, you say death and destruction. Now, let me be clear. Death and destruction. Okay? Now, I'm not, you know, going to sit here and go, but that's the gospel. That is in the gospel. Alright, you either choose life or you choose death. There's no like where you make your own way. It doesn't work like that. Look at this one. Very good though. This is the heart of God. Ezekiel 33 verse 11. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Like, God is not like, some people, oh, well, this, you know, Richard Dawkins, who writes the God delusion, he, you know, these other atheists write, well, this is the Old Testament, it's just like, man, this evil, merciless God. That's not the God I read about. God has no delays. But you know what? That's just the law of the way it works. That's, he made the world, we live in it, he's given us life, he can take it away anytime. But he takes no delight, even in the wicked perishing. That's not his desire. You know, we got to make sure we make the right choice. Let me open it up now. What are some big choices we need to make in life generally? Anybody? What are some big choices we need to make? Marvin? What job you take? Big choice. Who we marry? Big one. Who we marry? Could lead us either to death and destruction or life and prosperity. Literally. Do not be yoked. Where we live. Crucial one, make them decide. I'm going to live way, way out there where my job is rather than where church is. A brother just moved closer to church. I said to him, that's a great decision. He works. He now has to travel further to work. I said, bro, you've done a great thing there.
Who our friends are.
I'm not even going to mention anything more there.
The doctrine we follow.
What are we going to choose to listen to and understand? Are we going to open our hearts to the Bible and see what is the true doctrine? Doing it. What university or college to attend? Man, the teens are getting it today. I'm not even preaching that. To Aberystwyth, but there's no strong church in Aberystwyth, but they have the greatest degree course known to man. You got to think about this. Some big choices. There's a lot of choice for us as believers. Will I live a life of obedience or self-will? Every day, every believer makes decision after decision about our own obedience. Will we be ethical and honest at work? When we get a chance to cut a corner or get away with something, will we honor our spouse in our marriage? Will we keep our vows? Will I live God's way or my way? Will I follow my flesh or the Holy Spirit? Will I commit to spiritual growth or spiritual malaise? Will I live for me or others? Will I live for the culture of the world or for Christ? And the choice here is not whether to believe or not to believe. The choice is whether to live the life. I've skipped over loads of scriptures today about the mouth and the heart being unified. How easy it is to worship God with our mouths and not with our heart. It's not about whether you believe today. Satan believes in God. Satan believes Jesus is Lord. The devil. Well, I believe that. Am I like Satan? Well, if you don't act on it, yeah. Because you're no different. Belief and obedience. Obedience is what God's calling. And he's calling for repentance from your sins. Renew your relationship with him. It's action-based, not philosophical. Make the right choice. Do not fall foul of judgment. Last point. Hold your line. It doesn't command greatness. Hold your line. This is the best shot I could get on the free photo downloads of a car journey. I've been doing a lot of driving, picking up relatives and this sort of thing. I picked up my father on Christmas Day. He flew in from Durban to Heathrow. And I went out there, it was great, Christmas Day morning, I went on the 28 and 25. I saw at one person, I had my full beans on, I was like, yeah, I own the road. Yeah. And then we got on the M25, and we got that, past Gatwick, that turn off, and then the rain was gone. The southwest has been battered. We've got to pray for these guys. Floods everywhere. Suddenly this rain, I'm slowing right now. And I get there, I'm late because of the rain. I feel bad, I pick him up, we're coming back. And as we travel, this board just goes, you know that feeling? Anyone driving? Like a car hits a puddle, and it's just you cannot see for about 5-10 seconds. You have no idea what you're going to do. You just hold your line. You always say, hold your line. You know that you're going that way, just don't flinch. You've got to hold your line. Isn't life a bit like that? And here down in Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verse 19, he says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your family may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And you can write these ones down. These are all just about holding fast. The whole book of Deuteronomy. It's not just about that believing, or choosing, making the right choice. God is with you, God is me. But he then says, if you go over this river to possess this land, don't forget what you know. It's not about it, it's about holding fast. Teens, you might become Christians. 2013, many of you may be baptized. It's not about being a teen Christian, it's about dying Christian. And I was even at the church this year. So, you know, what I seemingly was doing quite well over the last couple of years. But it turned out he became a Christian around a time a number of other teens were becoming Christians. And there just wasn't the heart there. There was a pretense. You know what? 18, 19 now, don't want to come to church. Kingdom kid, don't want to come to church anymore. Had it. Just said, no, what? You know what? Worldly friends, worldly pursuits, taking him away. You know, we've got to make sure that we hold fast. How are we doing as believers? Baptized disciples, I'm talking to you. How are you holding fast to the decisions you made when you got saved? Are you standing up to the challenges that you're facing? You know, you get this wash of rain as you drive. That's just like life. Sometimes we're like, we don't know where the tennis fit. Well, like, gosh, I got hit by this challenge, this bad health, this financial problem, my kids are not going the way I want. What am I doing? Hold fast. Hold fast. Don't go knee-jerk in reaction off somewhere. Leave the decision that you've made. Stay with God. Hold strong. You know, refuse to give in to the pressures around you. You know, we might not see a way out. When that water hits the windscreen, I don't know when it's going to go. My wipers are doing all they can, but, you know, another time I was driving up to my mum's with my mother-in-law, and this bus went past, another jet of water came over. And again, you just, I don't know when, whether maybe there's another truck, maybe it's, I'm just like that. There's the lines, that's the way I'm going. We got to hold fast. We might not see the way out or even see at all, but we got to hold fast to what we believe. You know, at some point, it may be a bit like this. Joshua 23, verse 7. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. I mean, that's like clinging. That's not, you know, that's not the best place to be. It's a desperation, but we need to get strong. But sometimes it may just be like, I'm just clinging on here. And if that's you, and you feel like, man, I'm dropping, I've been clinging on too long to too little, you need to talk to somebody today. You need to have a chat. Because you know you can't survive on the precipice and ready to fall. Acts 11:23 puts it like this. When he came and saw the grace of God, this is Paul, he was glad and exhorted them not to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Romans 12, verse 9, that love be genuine, of all is evil. Hold fast to what is good. If something is good, even if it's not bearing fruit right now, hold fast to what the Bible says. Don't leave it. Psalm 27, verse 1 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, this is the God we worship, and this is how we need to act, guys. We've looked at 3 points today. You know, salvation is right inside each and every one of us. It's actually on your tongue. If you open your mouth, it's right there if you'd only choose to seek it. It's in your heart if you look for it. But are you going to choose it? That's the question today. Maybe you're studying the Bible. Maybe you're weighing it up. Well, I see this side. I see this. You know, life, prosperity, death, and destruction. It's that clear. And God makes it that clear so that you would make the right choice. And lastly, are you going to hold fast to that decision? Are you holding fast today? Have you made decisions? Next year, I'm going to grow. Next year, I'm going to make some moves this year. I want to do this. I want to grow in this. I want to seek God more in this area. Thanks very much for your time. Have a happy new year.
Whenever I think of Deuteronomy, I do think of Deuteronomy chapter 30.